You know, it's funny. You never know what you talk about. You know, everybody always has suggestions on what somebody should talk about or preach about when you sit out here. But then when it's your turn, you know, you lose all sorts of what you're supposed to talk about. You know, I remember one time I told Marlon, I said, man, you should really do a sermon, you know, called Who Gonna Check Me, Boo? You know, like that was one of my good ones. I was like, man, I don't know what you're gonna use, what scripture you're gonna use. But that was right when that woman from Real Housewives came out with that song. And I was like, man, that would be awesome if you got up here. I think people would think you crazy. So y'all played a good one on me, because I'm sitting in the audience doing praise and worship. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to get, there you go, baby, go ahead. I'm gonna have to preach to about 13, 14 folks. I'm gonna have to preach to McBride and his clan, and Deron and Mike and them. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I feel good. I could talk to 4 or 5 people. And then all of a sudden I turned around and here go Kyle, and you know, he brought somebody extra. Then the Dramaes showed up, you know, they showed up with day two, and I'm like, oh, you know. And then we got a visitor back here, then they came in, you know, but then my man, he sat in the corner, says, okay, he cool. He gonna sit right back there in the corner, kind of control the kids. You know, so I'm like, all right, what are we going to talk about today? But either way, I thank you guys for giving me a moment to just stand up here and share with you guys. Marlon said, you know, just share your story. And I'm like, man, I'm 30 years old. I ain't really got too much story to talk about. You know, I went to college, still working at the first job that I took right after college, you know. So, you know, what do you have to talk about? So I was sitting on my couch one night, and so for those who don't know, I worked for the Boy Scouts. And a long time ago, it was right when the economy had, like, hit the toilet. And we were like, man, we still had to go out there and raise money. You know, part of my job is fundraising. And so we were sitting in staff meeting, and somebody said, man, we're going to have a great year this year. You know, just being good isn't good enough for us anymore. You know, if we're gonna be good, then good isn't really gonna get us the resources that we need to be successful. So we're gonna have to be great. And so I'm sitting there like, man, all right, cool. You know, boom. So I'm sitting there and I remember that time in my life. And I was like, you know what? Let's do something. And I've titled it today, Going Good to Great. And just another quick story for you. I was sitting down having a conversation with two of my staff members. I supervised 4 people in my office, and I was sitting down having a conversation with my staff members a couple years back, and they, y'all gonna have to forgive me, they had the audacity to tell me that kids couldn't be better than they actually were. You know, like, some kids are just dumb. Some kids are just average. Some kids are just regular. You know, they're not meant to be smart, or they can't be good, they can't be great. And I'm sitting there like, you got to, you know, and y'all know, Kyle, y'all know me, my wife knows, y'all know I carry everything that I'm feeling and thinking on my face. And so they said that, they literally said, you know, some kids are just not meant to be, not meant to be any more than they are. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I had like the biggest what the, you know, y'all fill in the blank face of all time. And I'm sitting there like, y'all are for real, right? And what made it worse was, you know, and Matt, he's been in my office, Kyle's been to my office. One of the people I was having this conversation loudly with, she had a daughter with special needs. And I'm sitting there like, you know, so that's, you know, that's how you really feel. You know, like, you, so you're telling me that your daughter can't be anything more than she currently is. You know, and then the other dude that I was having this conversation with, he was before he joined the Boy Scouts, he was like a temporary, you know, part-time youth pastor, and he was a teacher, and he was a substitute teacher for Gwinnett County Schools, you know, and then he joined the Boy Scouts. So and I'm sitting there like, you know, so okay, so here we are, we got a woman with a daughter who has special needs, and a dude who served as a youth pastor. And y'all gonna tell me that kids can't be better than what they are? And I, you know, so that kind of caught me off guard, and I argued with them for a long time about it. And so fast forward to today, I mean, literally, I, you know, and even now y'all can see how it has me a little flustered, because it bothered me that much. And so I argued with them for about an hour. I just had to tell them that they were wrong and that's just the way they was. I was your supervisor, so y'all are wrong and I'm right. Conversation over with. And so again, I fast forward to today, and what I want to talk to you guys about is just the process. How do we go from being good to just good to being great? And this is bigger than our kids. This is our personal life, because you know, y'all know my heart, and I believe that each one of those guys over there, and got a couple sprinkled in over here, and all of us, I think we're all destined for greatness. We just have to be willing to accept and receive the greatness that we have. So I'm not, first off, let me start with this. I'm not Pastor Marlon. I'm not Pastor McBride. All right, I got 3 points. I'm gonna hit them, and I'm gonna take my seat. All right, 3 points, hit them, I'm gonna take my seat. That's all I got for you. I knew I'm gonna get an amen from the folk who wanna go watch football today. Yeah, I'm trying to get to that Dallas Cowboys Seahawks game. Hey, go Cowboys. So here we go, I'm sitting there, right? Okay, so you know, yeah, everybody walked in church today, and the first question, whenever you see somebody, you always ask them, first question number one, how are you doing today? You know, first question, always good. And then our response is always very generic, right? Oh, I'm good, right? But maybe I'm diving a little bit too deep into the word good, but what does that really mean? You know, like when I walk up, you know, I'm gonna pick on Kyle today because that's my homeboy business partner. So I walk up to Kyle, he says, I say, hey man, how are you doing? He says, oh, I'm good. You know, you always say it like that, oh, I'm good. You know, but what does that really mean? To me, that means I'm okay. You know, things are all right. But really, what does that mean to me? Things are status quo. You know, or better yet, for my parents, I'll shoot over here to McBride. When Kenny has a test, right? She comes home from school. First question you ask her, oh, baby, how'd you do on that test? And what does she say? Oh, I did good. You know, what does that really mean? That just means, okay, let me just go ahead and start thinking about the discipline that I'm going to give you when that test score do come home. Again, I mentor kids, and I ask them, first question I always ask them, how are your grades doing? And they always say, oh, they're good. And then I proceed to dig a little deeper, and they say, oh, I got, you know, like a B, you know, 2 C's exactly, and like a D. And I'm like, how was that good? And so my question to you guys today is, if we believe that we serve a God that can do anything, can do above all that we can ask or think. Come on, baby, help me preach. Give me an amen. There we go. He got me. My baby got me. If we believe that we serve a God that can do above all things, is good really the best adjective to describe our lives? You know? And so, you know, and that's all, you know, and I'm not saying that I want Kyle to come to me next week when I ask him how his day going and say, oh, I'm having a great day. That's not what I want. But what I want us to do is just really take a moment and think about, is good really the best way to describe our lives? I personally, I really believe that God has called each one of us to be great. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 9, it says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for a high calling of priestly work, chosen to be holy people, God's instruments to do his work, speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he has made in your life. I didn't even know that was up there. Go ahead, Mike. Night and day difference he has made in you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know, and that's from the Message Bible. You know, you always got to find out which Bible translation says exactly what you want it to say. And so again, if God has called us to be great, if he's already said, he said it right there. He said he wants us to, he says he has a high calling for each one of us. Is good really good enough? You know, is us waking up in the morning and doing, or is us having good finances or good homes or good kids, or I wish Nick was out here. If Nick was just a good bass player, or Zach was a good guitarist, or you know, or any who plays sports? Where my man over? Yeah, my buddy. Oh, Dylan. If he was a good baseball player, my man over here, and your son, my mom's son right here. He told me when I went into his classroom to talk about scouts. He said he plays football. Never met an athlete that said I want to be a good athlete. Like I want to be great. Like nobody. Like Michael Jordan didn't wake up yesterday and say I want to be good. You know, you have to want to be great. And I really think that it's in each one of us to be great. So point number one, how do we go from being good to great? Point one, very simple, trust God. That's probably the most simple I can make that thing. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, that is the story of Jesus walking on water. That's a very familiar passage. It's easy. Everybody knows it. In verse number 27, it says, "But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage. I am here.'" Anybody play poker? I don't play poker at all. I mean, we're not gambling. It's cool, you know. All right, nobody plays poker. Y'all know, but y'all seen it. I watch poker on ESPN. And my favorite part, I don't even watch it. I just kind of like skim through it. You know, you get stuck on ESPN sometimes. My favorite part about that whole poker on TV is when that dude pushes all his chips into the center of the table. Like right then, I don't know nothing about poker, but I just got excited. Like, I'm like, oh man, something's about to happen, you know? And I say that because, you know, we have to get to a point where we say, God, I trust you. Not with, you know, like, this is just me being 100% transparent. Like, God, I trust you with my family, but not my finances. You know, like, I still wanna have some level of control over some things in my life. But I think we have to get to a point where we're willing to say, hey, I'm all in. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm thinking, you know, boom, like that just happened. And somewhere somebody's playing poker and they went, slid them all on the table. And then they push them over it arrogantly and then they lose, but that's not for today. You got to slide it all. We can't pick and choose what we want God to control in our life. We have to say, I want it all. You know, give it, boom, slide it all into the center of the table. You know, knock the chips over real nasty too. You know, we playing spades and you know you got that big choker. You know, and there it is, Mike. Mike did it. Mike said, boom, you know, you got to, like, God is our big joker, man. Slam that bad boy down on the table and let's go. You know, so again, I believe God is waiting on us. God is waiting to make us great, but first we have to trust him. You know, not that situational trust that we all have, but kind of trust them with everything that we got. You know, point number two, just say yes. Verse number 27 through 29 says, "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water.'" And Jesus said, "Yes, come." Again, just say yes. I think back, Max shared his story 2 weeks ago. And Mac was telling the story about how he had risen to, you were the chief technology officer of a company, right? And so he thought he was doing great. You know, he thought he was doing all right. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, he got called into the principal's office, you know, and then the old boy said, "Hey man, you ain't doing as good as you thought you were." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, you know, but I mean, but then, and then he let him go. And then from that point, but then Mac, you know, so Mac's like, man, his first thought was, how am I gonna tell my wife? You know, and then he got home, Christy was like, hey, now you can start your own company. You can start Vitalysis, you know? And so I think back, if when Jesus calls, it's our responsibility to answer. And so I think back to Mac's story. Mac got let go, you know, and sometimes that God has to physically pick us up and move us out of the circumstance that we were in so that we can make a different decision. Because I think you said that you had wanted to start a company before, and correct me if I'm wrong, but would you have started Vitalysis if you were still the chief technology officer at that company? Yeah. Right. So, you know, so again, it goes back to God, you know, said, hey, Matt, cutting the ties. You got to go. Sorry, you know, but it's still our responsibility to say yes, you know, because Matt could have said, nah, bruh, you ain't doing it. You know, I don't know. I'd prefer to go, you know, where I know. I know a lot of people in the industry. I can go get a job that sustains me and my family. I can go get a good job and sustain my family. But Mac said, but God called me, said, no, I want you to start Vitalysis. And he answered. You know, and so I just, you know, and it's crazy because I think, and we sit here and we're in Victorious Living Church, and I remember back when Marlon, he came and sat down in the house, and he said, I want you to come be a member of Victorious, you know, and so had Marlon not answered the call to become a pastor, to start a church, where would I be? You know, I would be, I'd be one of them CME members at, what's the name of that church? What's the name of that church we used to go to? Yeah, it was first, it was Bedside Baptist on every other Sunday. But we were at New Mercy's. No offense to New Mercy's, it's a great church, great people. But I mean, we went, we didn't go, we came, you know, it is what it was. We sat in the bed if we wanted to. But had Marlon not answered the call, where would I be? I wouldn't be a deacon, I wouldn't be coming to set up. I mean, you know, this has been the most fun that I've ever had, you know, in church. And so had Marlon not answered the call, you know, I'd still be chilling at the house. You know, so I say this, if God called you today to do what he wanted you to do that was different from what you thought you should be doing, would you answer the call or would you send him the voicemail? You know, and I mean, and so, and here's my, Mac said, you're going to tell your story. I said, all right, here's my nugget for my story. So everybody, for some people know, some people don't know. But before Xavier, Candace and I, we were pregnant before, and we had a miscarriage. And so, you know, I'm sitting there in my misery, in my funk, in that kind of wallowing in your own pity. You know, you got the blinds closed, the TV on, but it's muted. You know, you ain't showered, you know, right regularly, you know, and so I'm sitting there, and I hadn't been to work in a week. And so I'm finally at the end of this process starting to dig myself out of this hole. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. And it's my fraternity brother. And I'm like, man, I don't feel like talking. You know, it's one of those people that's calling and say, do you need anything, but don't really want to give you nothing. They want to say, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. Cool, I can get that from the voicemail. But I answered the phone. You know, I answered the call. And so, and it was him. He, you know, I could hear hurt and pain in his voice. And you know, he was crying, and he was like, man, I just need somebody to talk to. And I said, what's going on, man? What you need? You know, because again, I'm not really taking this dude serious because I'm in my own pity. And then he said, my girlfriend and I, we just had a miscarriage. You know, I just needed somebody to talk to about it. And I'm sitting there like, wow. You know, so I tell people that story only because we go through things to help other people go through things. You know, and it's funny, we always use that joke, that analogy, the light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, have we ever thought about how the light got to the end of the tunnel? You know, somebody had to walk through darkness to put the light up so that other people, I mean, it hurts, you know, because I think about, I still think about him or her or whatever it is, but I still think about him, but then I think about, you know, being able to help people through that similar misery. Anyway, let me move on to the next point. You know, but the point is we go through this foolishness sometime so that we can help other people get through theirs. And so I just encourage you guys to answer the call. Sometime it may come from God, but it also may come from a friend that just needs to talk about what's on their heart. And so just answer the call. Point three, don't be afraid to climb. Michael, you are Johnny on the spot, man. I think that was up there like 4 minutes ago. You know, like you said, oh, this dude done teared up, man. Let me hit the next button so he keep on going. You know, it is crazy because, you know, let me tell you, and Deron, you got to delete that from the video. Because let me tell you, every time, you know, every time, you can count on Marlon to cry during a sermon every third Sunday. Every third Sunday. He'd be like, he'll say something about Tasha and them kids, man, and you know he gonna cry. And every time he do it, I call him and I'm like, hey, man, you cried again. He like, I know. And so here I am, my first time up here, you know. So y'all can count on me never doing this again. All right, so here we go. Point number three, don't be afraid to climb. when we did the good to great thing in my office, what it revealed to me was that some people are afraid to be great. You know, and I don't know why that is. You know, my buddy, I'm gonna call his name because none of y'all know him, man. None of y'all, Kyle know him. Joel. he's one of my employees. I love him to death. I want him to be. But he is so afraid to be great. You know, like he says, well, I don't want to raise extra money. I want to hit my goal and be done. Because if I raise too much money this year, then next year I'm gonna have to beat it. Or if I recruit too many kids this year, next year I gotta beat it. But why not just let next year be next year and let's be great this year, you know? And so a lot of people are afraid to be great and they don't understand what great means. God elevates us from good to great for two reasons, two very simple reasons. The higher we are elevated, the more people can see God move in our life. All right, so here we are right now, very intimate setting. I'm standing in front of y'all. So we got about 10 people that can see me really, really good. But I saw Miss Phyllis walk in. I think she's hiding behind, Ice over there. I can see Miss Suzanne, Miss Sherelle. I can see our band, and I can see Brittany. All right, but can they really see me? All right, so when God elevates us, he elevates us so that more people can see him move in our life. So real quick, here's your illustration. We're gonna move on up. God gonna elevate me using this subwoofer. And now I'm hopped up on stage. Boom, we're good. And now I think the people in the back of the room now have a better picture of me. Now you guys can still see me, but now even now, so even more people. So when God elevates you from here to here, now he's opening the door for more people to see him move in your life. And that's what I love about being, that's why being great doesn't scare me, you know, because I'm not afraid of what people see when they look at me. You know, I wish I dressed like my man, you know, I wish I dressed like Mr. Drame sometime, you know, so that y'all could really see a, you know, see me a little bit more cleaner, but I'm gonna find out where he's shopping. We're gonna go shopping together. So here we go. We're elevated again so that more people can see Christ in us. Number two, we're elevated. The higher we climb, the more trust we have to have in God. Very simple. Matt, can I get you to come up here for 1 second? Matt's gonna come up here and help me illustrate this point. This should be fun, I hope. Or the church is gonna get a bill for my medical. So here we go. So here we have a ladder. And I'm not afraid of heights. I kind of dislike them a little bit sometimes. You know, because you never have somebody here. Whenever you got to pull a ladder out, you ever notice that it's never anybody there to hold the ladder? You know, so, and then growing up, we didn't have a ladder when I was growing up. My dad said, hey, back the van out the trunk, out the garage, hop on top of the van, throw the blower on top of the roof, and then get on the roof and blow the leaves down. You know, so here we go. We have this ladder. Hold on for a second, Mac. And ladders by nature are not, you know, they look sturdy, but when you get to climbing them, you ever notice that they don't ever just kind of sit right? You know, so whenever you get there, you start to shake, and it just really doesn't feel supported enough. But so when you start to climb it, you don't really feel as supported as you could. But I got Mac here, and we just, for the sake of this argument, we're going to call Mac God. And Mac, don't take this to your head. It ends when you walk off the stage. All right, so Christy, you heard it. Don't call him God when you get home. But the beauty of God, so Mac is God, and when you get to climbing the ladder and God starts to elevate you to higher and higher positions, excuse me, Mac, no, don't let go now, you know. When he elevates you, the best part about God is that he's going to support you while you're down, while you're up here. And the best part about it is if you ever say that you want to do things on your own and you fall off, then I got God down here to catch me, you know? And that's what I love about, don't clap, dude. You God, hold the ladder. I just told this dude, like, hey, I don't like being up on ladders, and he gonna let go. And so God elevates us so that we can trust him more. Like right now, I don't have a care in the world about sitting up here on this ladder because Mac is standing here holding it, you know. And if I fall, I'm gonna fall to the right, so I land on Mac back and not the floor, all right? But if Mac were to let go and walk off, now all of a sudden, you know, I'm a little shaky, I'm a little scared. But with God down here, I feel comfortable. I'm all right, you know. I know I'm in his hands, and so that's what I love. So, all right, man, I'm about to climb down, man. I saw you move. All right, so here we are. I'm gonna come on down. That's point three. It's a very simple process. I love it, Mac. Thank you so much. For some reason, it's scary because the higher we, and I think the reason why people are scared to climb higher is because the higher we climb, the higher God elevates us, the more is required of us, you know? And maybe that's the scary part. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is just me talking up here. But I think that's why. I think people just don't want the requirement that comes with being great. You know, like it's you know, Michael Jordan was great, but he was criticized every time he missed a game-winning shot. You know, LeBron early on in his career, he missed free throws. Or when he would pass the ball instead of taking the game-winning shot, we all criticized them instead of just saying, hey, you know what, in not every circumstance, that's why people are afraid to be great, because they don't want the criticism that comes along with doing it. But again, I'd rather be great and get criticized than be average and get nothing, you know? And so, when we are called to do great things, good shouldn't be good enough anymore. You know, so personally, when I think about God's leadership in my life, you know, if I let him lead, if I just stop and I was like, you know what, boom, I'm moving out the way, I'm gonna let God lead, then at the end of the day, good grades, kids, you know, parents, good finances, good lives, all that stuff kind of seems inadequate. You know, I think we can all strive to have great grades and great lives, have great finances, but I think that all comes with letting God lead. Letting God lead our lives. So today I'll leave you with this. How great do you really, really want to be? You know, I think that's a question that you guys can answer for yourself. How great do you really, really want to be? That reminds me of one of my favorite songs. It's called Yes, by, how you say it, baby? There you go, because I was going to call it Shekinah. Shekinah Glory Ministry. The song is called Yes. It starts with, will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Let me tell you, I get goosebumps listening to this song. I mean, it's that awesome. You know, and so I encourage you guys today, just say yes. You know, there's something that God has called you to do. And I just encourage you guys to say yes. It's bigger than you are. You know, kids, just say yes. Just say yes. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just the opportunity to go from good to great. We ask you to walk with us and lead our lives, Father. We ask you to give us the strength to let you lead. We ask you to give us the strength to push the chips in the center of the table, Lord. Lord, your people are ready to say yes. We thank you so much for all that you are in our life.